The family of a Wisconsin man says he died after his health insurance denied coverage for an inhaler. Now they've filed a lawsuit. It's Monday, February 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the leader of Wisconsin's Democratic Party came up short in his bid to lead the national party. Beaver Dam is the latest Wisconsin community with the proposed new data center, and activists are trying to stop the sale of county-owned nursing homes. Stay with us.
Larry is news you can use.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be on your show again as we move inexorably towards spring.
Wondering how hot this summer is going to be?
You know, everything has been a month early this year.
Well, I think we got warm in February.
We did. This year was just, this year was weird across the board, as we all know.
The Larry Mueller Show, weekday mornings at 11 on WPR News.
A Wisconsin couple is suing in the hopes of fighting prescription drug middlemen, which they say endanger the public. Corrine Hess reports they filed a federal lawsuit this month, exactly 1 year after their 22-year-old son died of an asthma attack.
Parents Shannon and William Schmidnick say their son Cole died because he could not afford the daily inhaler he had used since he was a child. The price went from $66 a month to nearly $540 when his insurance company stopped coverage. Cole suffered a deadly asthma attack 5 days after he left a pharmacy without his prescription. He was unable to pay the higher cost. Michael Trunk is the family's attorney. He says he hopes the lawsuit will stop predatory practices.
So you have a middleman, a PBM, deciding what medication a young man should take for his asthma. It's just not right.
Cole's family is suing Optum Rx, a subsidiary of United Healthcare, and Walgreens for wrongful death. Neither company would comment on the pending litigation. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler lost his bid to lead the Democratic National Committee over the weekend. He came in second to Ken Martin of Minnesota during a Saturday vote of DNC delegates outside Washington. Martin heads the state's Democratic Farmer Labor Party. Wickler issued a statement urging his supporters to work with Martin moving forward. Milwaukee-based Democratic consultant Joe Zepecki says Wickler made a strong case for what has worked for the state party. He says Wickler's focused on helping Democrats win the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
And I have no doubt that despite coming up a little short in the race to be the DNC chair, that he is going to run through the tape and make sure we have what it takes to win on April 1st. That is what we need to do to send a message to Republicans and the Trump administration.
Wickler raised more than $726,000 during his DNC campaign. The bulk of that came from LinkedIn founder Reid Hoffman and a political committee founded by George Soros. A new data center could be coming to Beaver Dam. As Joe Schultz reports, similar projects across the state are raising concerns about whether utilities will be able to keep up with rising energy demand.
A developer working through an LLC is looking to build a data center in Beaver Dam. A local economic development official says the city has an agreement in place for the project. Data centers are also planned in Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, Port Washington, and Wisconsin Rapids. The projects raise concerns about the effect they will have on the electric grid. That's because they'll use far more energy than a typical industrial user. Amy Berrio is with the nonprofit Clean Wisconsin. She says just the first phase of Microsoft's data center in Mount Pleasant will need more energy than all the homes in Dane County.
This is a scale of energy use unlike anything we've really ever seen.
Industrial groups have become increasingly concerned that utilities will not be able to meet future demand. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
9 employees at Wisconsin's Waupun Prison have been fired and 2 have resigned following the launch of a federal investigation into contraband smuggling. Last year, Wisconsin's Department of Corrections said 11 workers at the maximum security lockup had been placed on leave. That disclosure followed the launch of a probe by the Federal Bureau of Investigation into allegations of staff smuggling contraband into the prison. A Department of Corrections spokesperson declined to release the names of most of the Waupun employees who have been recently fired or resigned after being placed on leave. The spokesperson cited ongoing investigations. Last month, former Waupun maintenance worker William Homan was sentenced to house arrest. He pleaded guilty to taking bribes from inmates in exchange for sneaking in items like cell phones, tobacco, and marijuana. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany and GOP lawmakers have reintroduced a bill to try and remove federal protections for gray wolves across most of the country. As Danielle Kading reports, Tiffany co-sponsored the proposal with Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert.
The plan would remove more than 7,000 gray wolves from the endangered species list nationwide, including in Wisconsin. The bill would bar courts from reviewing the decision. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany says Wisconsin has seen a rise in wolf attacks in recent years.
People's pets and livestock are being slaughtered at this point in time for it to end. And let's get back to balance, where we believe wolves belong on the landscape, but there must be balance. We don't have that.
Wolf advocates say a small fraction of hunting dogs and farms are affected in Wisconsin. The bill is similar to one that passed the U.S. House last year. It failed to advance in the Democratic-controlled Senate. With Republicans in control of Congress and the White House, the bill has better odds of passing. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
More than 500 people are expected to be laid off by Air Wisconsin Airlines. The regional airline based in the Fox Valley filed a layoff notice with the state last week. The company plans to permanently lay off more than 200 people and temporarily lay off almost 300 employees. Workers at both the Milwaukee and Appleton airports will be affected. Air Wisconsin says the workforce reduction is expected to begin at the end of March. The job cuts come as the company works through the end of an agreement with American Airlines that allowed it to take flights for the national airline. Coming up, some counties are trying to save costs by privatizing their nursing homes, and local activists are now trying to fight it. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, at least three Wisconsin counties are currently at risk of losing their public nursing homes. County-owned nursing homes, on average, offer higher quality care than the state's private facilities. But county leaders say tight budgets make selling the most practical option. Addie Costello reports that as more counties look to privatize their facilities, a growing number of local organizers are working to stop those sales.
Most Portage County board votes don't draw much public attention, unless they're related to the future of the county-owned nursing home. Then, board members expect to hear from a group of local advocates, including Nancy Roppe. She's been delivering public comments against a sale for years.
The statewide unholy movement to eliminate county-owned and operated nursing facilities needs to be exercised. The robbing of the healthcare center for the benefit of God knows who.
Dirty deed done dirt cheap.
Roppe is a lifelong Stevens Point resident. She grew up taking trips to the healthcare center with her Girl Scout troop. And when her older sister got cancer, she spent every day visiting her at the facility before she died in 2015.
Yeah, it's a gem. It is a treasure. And the short-sightedness of the majority, the current majority of the county board, is what's preventing this from being preserved.
Portage County has operated the nursing home for close to a century. But that could be changing. County board member Mike Splinter says with staffing costs and needed renovations,
a possible sale to a qualified buyer is the best route to go.
Voters passed a referendum asking for money to build a new facility in 2022, but the board never moved forward with construction. Splinter says they need to use county funds for other mandated county services.
As board members, we have to make logical choices and not emotional choices.
But he can't deny the organizers' impact. The board received a proposal from a buyer last year. Splinter says Roppe and others' research on the buyer's track record of low-quality care helped him decide against the sale.
I enjoy the fight. I wish I didn't have to fight, but I'll take the fight on and we do what we have to do.
Roppe's not the only one fighting. Residents in Lincoln and Sauk counties are fighting sales with letter-writing campaigns, protests, petitions, yard signs, and legal battles. And in St. Croix County, advocates for their county nursing homes packed a board meeting after county leaders mentioned the possibility of a sale.
There were more than 100 rather annoyed old people there.
That's 70-year-old Celeste Coburl. She's a longtime resident of the county. St. Croix board chairs say they were never seriously considering a sale, but Coberl credits the public pressure.
I think that that's an encouraging thing, that when we show up, when we speak up, we can make a positive difference, and we should remember that.
Portage County nursing home advocates don't seem as likely to get a majority of board members on their side. But that's not stopping Roppy. Last month, she made the two-hour drive to Madison to meet with county nursing home advocates from across the state, including Judy Bry, a resident of Sauk County. She led a strategy discussion with the organizers ahead of their meeting with state officials and Wisconsin Secretary of State.
We want to be perceived of as united and strong and competent. And
after rehearsing their questions, the organizers got ready to walk past the state capitol to advocate for their local nursing homes.
I think we're going to start heading out, everybody. Shall we? I actually don't know how to get there, so who does?
State officials can block sales based on a buyer's history and finances, but they can't broadly stop a county from selling. Still, Roppy says she left the meetings with next steps in her fight to stop a sale.
I mean, we'll frustrate their efforts as best we can.
And if that doesn't work, she says they helped keep quality nursing care in Portage County for 7 years. And that's something she can be proud of. Addie Costello, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks to Addie Costello for that story. Quick check of weather before we let you go. There's a winter weather advisory in effect for the northern half of Wisconsin today. That's lasting until about noon. Could see anywhere from 2 to 5 inches in that part of the state. Southern Wisconsin will see mostly clouds and maybe a few flurries throughout the day today, with high temperatures in the 20s and 30s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. As always, send us your feedback. We love hearing from you. You can reach us by sending us an email at newscasts@wpr.org or just leave that rating and review wherever you're listening now. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.